Best. I'm Peter King. Abigail Edan just turned 4 years old on Friday. She was the youngest American held hostage by Hamas. President Biden says her captivity is over.
Abigail was among 13 hostages released today from Gaza under the brokered and sustained, though intensive, U.S. diplomacy. She's now safely in Israel, and we continue to press and expect for additional Americans will be released as well.
Correspondent Omar Villafranca.
President Biden says he wants to see aid trucks going in and hostages out, about 200 aid trucks going in a day to Gaza to offer food, water, cooking oil for the people who are still there. He also wants to extend this ceasefire, which is on day three, into longer days. There are stipulations for that. If Hamas releases 10 more hostages, that will buy them another day.
But not all appears to be peaceful. Palestinian health officials say Israeli forces have killed 8 people in the West Bank. Israel says the fighting happened as its forces were trying to make arrests in a refugee camp. As always, the Sunday after Thanksgiving is a busy travel day. This Newark, New Jersey flyer is hoping for the best.
I have to go to work tomorrow, so I just pick an early flight just in case, you know, something's happened.
Weather Prediction Center meteorologist Rich Otto has a look at what many travelers will face.
We have a storm system that's moving through the center of the country that's bringing some wintry weather to portions of the plains, and it's going to be moving into some of that snow is going to be moving into the Midwest and Great Lakes later on today.
Things look pretty clear from Colorado onto the West Coast. The Pope is under the weather. CBS's Anna Matranga is in Rome.
Pope Francis is suffering from a lung infection, which has caused him to cancel activities over the last 2 days. On Saturday, the Vatican announced the Pope had a mild flu and that a CT scan had been performed to rule out pulmonary complications.
The New York Republican George Santos faces a long list of criminal charges, including fraud, all related to the alleged misuse of campaign funds. After a scathing report from the House Ethics Committee, Santos tells X Spaces he expects to be expelled this week.
I will be the first innocent person, I haven't been proven guilty of anything, to be expelled from the United States Congress. This is where it goes downhill.
Sheriff's deputies say 4 people have been found dead at a homeless encampment in Autryville, North Carolina, east of Fayetteville. Investigators say 2 women and 2 men were shot to death. Preliminary findings indicate a murder-suicide. Just south of Atlanta, animal control officials say they may have to euthanize 2 dozen dogs because there's not enough room for them at the shelter in Clayton County, Georgia. This is CBS News.
Today, better nutrition and great taste are more important than ever. That's why Eggland's Best gives you and your family more. And that's healthy news for everyone. Only Eggland's Best.
I'm Tamron Hall.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. After hearing oral arguments Tuesday, the Wisconsin Supreme Court is weighing a legal challenge to the state's legislative boundaries. The eventual ruling could mean a lot for next year's elections, as Mike Moan reports.
The redistricting process might not resonate with all voters, but Nick Ramos of the Watchdog Wisconsin Democracy Campaign urges the public to pay attention. He says there's a lot at stake.
For over 12 years now, we've been living under a very rigged, gerrymandered map with a rigged, gerrymandered legislature.
Wisconsin is considered a 50-50 state for statewide elections, but Republican lawmakers hold overwhelming majorities in the legislature. Republicans have long defended how they've drawn up districts. This case doesn't focus on their seat advantage, but rather on 2 constitutional issues: the separation of powers involving a past ruling on current maps, and whether the districts are contiguous enough. Ramos says legal cases in general can take time to play out, but he predicts a rather quick timeline for a decision because of the potential implications for 2024 legislative races.
If there is a situation where the court looks at the maps and says they're unconstitutional for whatever reason, and then if that means if we're throwing out the maps and drawing new maps, then it sounds like everybody is going to be up for election.
He stresses a lot would go into whether a full set of new maps is required, including enough notice to legislative members. In past redistricting rulings in the U.S., courts have ordered varying levels of changes. It's also possible the case goes before the U.S. Supreme Court, depending on the state-level decision. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Snow today, additional accumulation under an inch. We'll see high temperatures in the lower 30s, breezy winds as they'll turn to the northwest in the afternoon. Overnight, mostly cloudy skies, blustery with lows dropping to the middle teens. Currently 26 degrees.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinair.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Delighted to have you along with us. Greg Bach is with me in studio. Calvin on the board. Our colleague and producer at Civic Media, Anya Esther, is joining us. And you can always check in, too, if you like, at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Anya was at the really big March for Israel yesterday in Washington, D.C. Anya, you had a really late night. You got back after midnight at O'Hare, right?
That's right. Well, not O'Hare, but General Mitchell. We touched down late last night. We left from General Mitchell yesterday at 5 a.m., landed in Maryland, got on a bus, bussed our way into D.C. D.C. was incredible, and then back out all the way back to Milwaukee just before midnight. And then I thought I'd text you and say, you know what, Jane, I might sleep in. I might not see you in studio. Let me get that link. So that was my evening. Yeah.
What a day. My goodness. First of all, Anya, who did you travel with?
So I had the fantastic opportunity to travel with our local Jewish Federation, which is to say a group of Jewish people who got together and said, look, it is important that our community shows up for this. If you want to go, here is a subsidized rate for young professionals, essentially. So I traveled with 120 Milwaukee mostly, but also from all over Wisconsin, professionals aging from, I think, the youngest traveler with us was 9, and some of the folks with us were of an age where it would have been disrespectful to ask. So we had a wide variety of folks, and we also had folks, I should say, folks like me who are Reform Jews, which is to say, you know, practice is very relaxed, practice is very chill. We also had folks who had to delay boarding, not in a bad way, they just chose to get on after folks because it was time for morning prayer and that was uninterruptible. One of the guys I had the opportunity to interview said he'd never seen so many black hats and tattoos in one room before boarding with all of us. So that's who I traveled with. And then getting to DC, who I was with was incredibly 290,000 estimated attendees from all over America. People were talking about folks from the UK being there, other countries. It is insane.
Yeah. So, some of the photos that I saw from yesterday, as you said, almost 300,000 people, and it was mm-hmm. peaceful. There was no violence, mm-hmm. at least not as of today. I haven't seen that's anything right. that there have been any reports of violence or anything. So that's good news. What other than showing support for Israel, what was the message behind this march, Anya?
Right. The message behind this was that in the wake of the events since October 7th, the wake of the attack in Israel, anti-Semitism everywhere has spiked just to unprecedented numbers. The phrase that was used to discuss October 7th has been, you know, this was the deadliest day for, and every day since, we have seen levels of anti-Semitism events occurring, like the burning of a synagogue in Tunisia, the death of a Jewish protester in LA, in California. While these things are related to Israel, they are far more about the rampant anti-Semitism, the ways in which, unfortunately, a lot of people are using this opportunity or this occurrence as an opportunity to commit anti-Semitism. That was the message of this march. In addition to that, talking about still the 240 people who are being held hostage, there were mothers of hostages in attendance who spoke, including the mother of Hirsch Goldberg Polin, who is a young man, a leftist who was taken hostage. We know that he lost his arm that day, and we don't know that he has received medical assistance since being taken into Gaza. So all of these things were the topic, in addition to the topic of love for our community and growing that love in a time when there is growing hate, and saying we will always love each other and ourselves more than anyone can hate us for it. And it was like a breath of fresh air to be among so many people who were so diverse, so different. Yes, if we sat down and had long, long discussions, we would argue, but that's because we're Jewish. You know, that's family. That's what happens. But it was about, it's a time in all of this war, in all of this ugly violence, it is a time for love, and it is a time for taking care of each other. So, yeah.
And I assume it was people of all faiths that were in, not just people of the Jewish faith, but people of all faiths.
That's right. Some of the speakers were Christian activists, Muslim activists, as well. I know that the attendees came from a wide variety of backgrounds, not just the diversity of Jewish backgrounds, but the diversity of Christian backgrounds, Muslim backgrounds, a ton of atheists, I'm sure a ton of Buddhists and Baha'i folks. It was truly, truly an incredible display.
If you're just joining us, Anastasia Esther is our guest. She's our colleague here at Civic Media, producer for numerous programs, including the wonderful Maggie Dawn Show, which you can hear Monday through Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. And Anya was in Washington, D.C. yesterday among hundreds of thousands of people marching for Israel. We talked a little bit off the air, Anya, with this horrible situation between Israel and Hamas, and how sometimes, because you are Jewish and you are open about practicing your faith, people come to you and expect you to be able to answer on behalf of the entire nation of Israel. And can't you just, you know, call Bibi Netanyahu for me and
yeah,
figure, you know, can't we?
Yeah, I got him on speed dial.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
But people do make that assumption that your opinion is going to be representative of all opinions, and that's just not the case.
Right. Right. That's exactly it. And it was that was a lot of the discussion yesterday, was how so many of us, the wide diversity of world Jewry, each of us had experiences of meeting someone who said that they'd never met a Jewish person. And now it was time for that individual, that one person, to answer the questions and do the education and be the voice. And here's a crowd of, like you said, not all of them are Jewish, but I, from what I've read, at least, or an estimated 100,000 of those were college students.
Wow.
In attendance.
Wow.
So college students who are going to college in places across America, across the world, meeting someone who goes, "You are the first Jewish person I've ever met. Now it's time for you to explain."
Yeah.
And part of the fervor of yesterday was all of us going, "Oh, thank goodness there, I don't have to explain myself to anyone here. I know why you're mourning. I know why you're having a hard time. Let us just continue on with this day together and not have to think about all the explanations we've had to give in the previous days."
Well, and much like Christianity, there are different there are different sects of Judaism, right? You know, Christianity has evangelicals and Lutherans and Catholics and Unitarians, and Judaism also has its different breakdowns.
That's right, yes. And to talk about that a little bit, we did see kind of one of the stronger, one of the quite more obvious delineations in that difference in practices. You know, we had folks there who were ultra-Orthodox. Like I said, folks whose morning prayer, they were like, we will board in just one moment. We just have to finish this up. But there were also members of a group that I've discussed before named Naturi Karta, who are extreme ultra-Orthodox. They're part of a group known as the Satmars, which is like you have ultra-Orthodox, and then within that, a tiny group called Satmars, and an even tinier group that is this Naturi Karta. For most people, you'd be familiar with Satmars. That's the the group that is shown in the Netflix show Unorthodox, where you have the young woman shaving her head before her wedding, and now everyone's like, Anya, when you get married, will you shave your head? And it's like, no, please, no.
Only if I want
to. Different thing. Only if I think it looks good with the dress.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But within that extremist group that some of America is familiar with from that show is a group named Naturi Karta, who was present not within the march, but outside. And that's really the only group that showed up and tried to be like, hey, this isn't right. And they had signs that said, like, authentic rabbis wouldn't support this. And then there's a couple hundred thousand, not a hundred thousand, but a couple thousand rabbis on the other side going, well, we support a wide variety of different things, friend, including each other. Yeah. So
I am baffled by that.
We all are. And I'll say this. Orthodox rabbis especially are very well spoken. And when you ask them something, they'll often pause to make sure that they have a good long answer that often has many more questions within it. When an Orthodox rabbi two rows behind me was asked about this group later, one of the people who was with us had no idea who they were. All I heard from the guy was, no, they're a whack job. So
that's
a very quick, I mean, coming from people who otherwise would give you about a 15-minute spiel on it. There you go.
It makes
we're
sense.
All baffled.
When you change the scenario, if you have people marching for, you know, peace and freedom and justice, you can have Christians standing outside and like, this is not America. You are not America. We are the ones who are America because we believe in X, Y, and Z. And we are also whack jobs.
Whack jobs, yeah.
If you have a question or a comment, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Again, keeping in mind that Anya is not here to speak on behalf of the government of Israel or Bibi Netanyahu or any of that. She was an attendee yesterday at a huge, huge, almost 300,000 people march for Israel yesterday in D.C. Can you stay with us through the break?
Of course. Yes, I'd love to.
Wonderful. Because I do want to talk. You had mentioned that among the speakers that you heard yesterday were some Muslims. And I would love to hear what message they had to share during all of this conflict and all of this death and all of this mess. It's just a mess. All right. We will be right back. I hope you will stay with us. 844-967-2789. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, and we are across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap, the Devil's Advocates radio show.
I'm not even clear from conflicting headlines whether or not Robin Voss has the cojones to move forward with impeachment against Megan Mulvey. Why would he do such a thing? You know, just a couple of weeks after he said he wasn't going to do such a thing. Well, he's been threatened, huh? By what? A group headed by his primary opponent, Adam Steed.
The Devil's Advocates radio show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As
Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Guys doing chores. How would that do on TikTok?
Sounds like you should be wearing like short shorts or something.
We're not going to exploit you in that way. I think it's more about your Q-tip action and
phrasing, Jane. The way you're saying it just sounds like one big double entendre.
Delicately in the crevices.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
1, 2, 3, 4. Everybody talks about bagging.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Natnair in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board. Anya Esther, our colleague and fellow producer here at Civic Media, is joining us. And if you would like to watch on the stream, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And you can always check in, leave a call or a text at 844-967-2789. Anya yesterday attended the March for Israel that was in Washington, nearly 300,000 people. And again, as of this morning, I haven't seen any reports of any violence or any incidents or anything like that. So that's always wonderful when you get a group together of that size. Anya, you had mentioned that among the speakers yesterday were some followers of the Muslim faith. Can you share some of what their messages were?
Yeah. So one of the phenomenal speakers, and I should say everyone who spoke was so moving and so great. But one of those speakers was Anila Ali. She's an American Pakistani activist and American politician. And her speech was a call for folks who are Muslim to examine if what they are participating in is freedom for Palestinians or if it is anti-Semitism. And a lot of her speech examined this idea, and it's something that I've spoken about on the Maggie Dawn show as well, this idea that there are many sides to this. A lot of people want there to just be two, but there are many sides to this. And there are people who are members of the Muslim faith who are choosing to engage in things that they believe to be anti-Zionism, engaging in things that they believe to be against the Israeli government as a way of protesting in favor of the Palestinian folks, but a lot of it unfortunately becomes anti-Semitism. For example, the burning of the synagogue in Tunisia, the folks who did that are claiming that they did it because, you know, this is what Islam would want and this is that and this is against Israel, when really, of course, it is just anti-Semitism. So she had a great quote from the Quran in her speech where she said, and do not let the hatred of a people prevent you from being just. Be just. That is nearer to righteousness. And that's Quran 5:8. So her speech was very moving and a very empowering call for something similar to what I've been discussing, which is folks who claim to be pro-Israel when really they are just Islamophobic. And they see this as an opportunity to engage in hatred against Muslim folks. This is, as I said earlier, how this march was also about confronting the anti-Semitism people have engaged in. She was also calling out rightfully and loudly the continued Islamophobia and the anti-Semitism happening in this. So that was very moving and very powerful.
That was something I wanted to bring up, and I was trying to find just the most correct, respectful words for it, because what I see are a lot of politicians who raise their fist in pro-Israel while not doing enough to delineate the difference between Hamas and men, women, and children in Palestine who just want to live.
Yeah.
And did you see that sort of support there as far as people saying, you know, for lack of a better term, we are all one, we are all love, we are all one people? You know, I mean, it's such a hard needle to thread.
Yes, it is. It is. And I will say outright, many, many, many of the speeches, and I'll be, you know, I was running around with my camera, so I didn't listen intently to every single one. But many of the speeches, not just implied, but outright said, the Palestinian people deserve and need freedom. There are Palestinian people who are dying and suffering because of things that have nothing to do with them. That is wrong, period. So a lot of the speakers, several of the politicians, and the vast majority of attendees who I spoke to, that was their feeling. And tonight on the Maggie Dawn Show, I'll have some more interviews that I conducted with folks in the airport on the way home. And many of them said the exact same thing. This has to be an equal response where we are helping, saving, rescuing the lives of the Palestinians who are in Gaza, who have been suffering for so long, in addition to everything else that is happening, in addition to the hostages being held by Hamas, in addition to all of this. We have to be vocal and we have to be present for the Palestinian people. I think the not caveat isn't the word, but the feeling that came with that was so many Jewish people feel that they have heard their friends speak on that side and not for the anti-Semitism that they've mm-hmm. experienced. And that is a feeling mm-hmm. that's not inherently a fact. But many of the people I spoke with more so wanted to express, we are so in favor of peace for everyone. We are so in favor of peace for everyone. We are hurt that we are not hearing people be in favor for peace for Jews as well. Yeah. And that was a lot of what we wanted to cover yesterday was, we must, because it is our community, be vocal for ourselves. If not us, who will? Mm-hmm. And in addition, all people should be safe. All people should be free. And specifically stated, the Palestinian people as well. So, yeah, I hope that kind of answers that.
Absolutely. No, absolutely.
And yeah. As you said too, Anya, this is such a complicated quagmire that goes back decades and decades and decades. And the assumption that, you know, and that's why I think Greg and I have kind of avoided this subject, because it is so complicated and there's mm-hmm. so much nuance to it. And I don't want to step out and say, well, this is what I think they should do, because I don't know enough about the history of these conflicts and all of the different angles and nuances and players that have been involved in this again for decades and decades and decades.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, for me, I just want to have, I want the Palestinians to have peace and a home. I want Israelis to have peace and a home. I want the politicians who are using this as ammunition to be voted out, kicked out, whatever. Yes. And those who are combating innocent people to be brought to justice. And you only need to say that once, because after that, it's right. It's the nuance of it all. It's like, I don't know the foreign policy. I'm not going to get into it. And I feel like once you do that, people start screaming at you because you're not on their side. I'm like, well, okay, fine.
Yeah, that's the feeling. And I will go into more of the nuance and things like this evening on Maggie Dawn's show, because I am solo hosting for her as she's dealing with Lord knows what, some lawyerly stuff beyond my pay grade.
So you're going to host but that tonight?
I am, yes. Yeah. So I'm going to talk more about my experiences. I'm going to play some clips from some fantastic interviews I recorded. But Jane, I think your statement is right. There's a lot of people who don't know the players, who don't know the history, who are getting very vocal and saying what they think should happen. Yeah. And I very much appreciate the opportunity to come here. I'm not an expert on it either. I'm just one person who was there. But I appreciate the opportunity to come and talk to folks and folks who want to hear more. Maggie Dawn tonight, 6 to 7. And
Anya Esther, it has been such a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so very much. I'm glad you had a safe journey. And as she said, to make sure you join her tonight at 6 o'clock as she steps into the big chair for Maggie Dawn from 6 to 7 o'clock tonight. Stay with us when we come back. The Holiday Folk Fair is this weekend at Wisconsin State Fair Park. We're going to talk about that. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
CBS News Brief. The youngest American hostage is now free.
Under the brokered and sustained, though intensive, U.S. diplomacy. She's now safely in Israel.
President Biden announcing the release of 4-year-old Abigail Edan and the third group of Hamas hostages to be let go. The Pope is under the weather.
Francis did not deliver his usual noon blessing, but remained seated next to an aide who delivered it instead.
CBS's Anna Matranga says Pope Francis has some inflammation in his lungs. New York Republican George Santos faces fraud charges, and a House ethics report says the evidence shows he repeatedly broke the law. He tells X Spaces he expects to become an ex-congressman this week.
I know I'm going to get expelled when this expulsion resolution goes to the floor because people are so quick to judge and ask and demand for political expediency. And this is what this is. It's political expediency.
The CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
Badgers win back the axe. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers beat Minnesota 28-14 in Minneapolis. That's the sound of the Badgers offensive line chopping down the Gophers' goalposts with Paul Bunyan's axe after the game. Wisconsin head coach Luke Fickle.
That was a special night. That was a special game. I got to give it to our guy. I mean, the heart, the soul, the grit. But I just mean that the ability to sustain some things, because at the end of the year, we all know there's nicks and bruises. There's guys that are hurt. There's plenty of guys that I said there's no way they would have played today, and they did.
The Badgers now 7-5 and wait for a bowl bid. The Gophers finish at 5-7. Head coach P.J. Fleck.
Sorry, we weren't able to give you the year that you all probably really wanted. There's a lot of things. And I mean, at one point, there were six freshmen on that defense on the field at one time today. That's not where you want to be, and there's a lot of reasons for that.
That's Minnesota head coach P.J. Fleck. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. No, today, additional accumulation under an inch. We'll see high temperatures in the lower 30s, breezy winds as they'll turn to the northwest in the afternoon. Overnight, mostly cloudy skies, blustery with lows dropping to the middle teens. Currently 26 degrees.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates radio show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates radio show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
To Southeast Wisconsin at 5:40 a.m. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, 10:34 on this Monday, November 13th. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin's on the board. And joining us, the founder of the Recombobulation Area and winner of many, 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 many Milwaukee Press Club Awards, Dan Schaefer. Good morning, Dan. How's it going?
Good morning, everybody. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good, good. Good to see you. It's a beautiful day. Nice. Considering it's November, it's a beautiful day, so get outside and enjoy it if you can. I subscribe, of course, to the wonderful Recombobulation Area, as everyone should.
I do. Thank you, Jane.
You bet. And I saw your mailbag, where you open it up and you invite, you know, readers to send in their questions, and then you attempt to answer them. And I thought this week's mailbag was really great, and I wanted to start out with one of the letters in your mailbag. Here's how this one goes. I understand the what about the wow counties being as deep red as they have historically been, but I've never really gotten the why, particularly as it relates to Waukesha. Seems to me Waukesha should at least be a swing county, manufacturing, a union presence. I've never really been able to wrap my mind around why it is historically deep red. For that matter, if it was upper middle class suburbanites responsible for that, then why the suburban shift has happened slower in Waukesha than around the country? I found
you get some good questions at the Recombobulation Area.
Yeah, you really do. So what is your response to that?
Well, so for those who don't know, I am from Waukesha County. So I grew up in a very conservative part of Waukesha County. I was raised in Pewaukee schools, Brookfield churches, and a whole lot of baseball fields all over Waukesha County.
Wow.
So I do have some insight into Waukesha County politics and to why it is as red as it is. And I think Greg had something to say here. What Greg had some reaction while I was saying that.
Well, I'm from Waukesha as well. I'm from the city, but I have family in Western Waukesha County. A lot of police in my family. A lot of deep red conservative values in my family and from the area. And when I worked for the Obama campaign in 2008, when we lost Waukesha County by 8 points, we considered it a victory.
Oh, that was a win.
That was a win, losing by single digits. All right, go on, Dan.
Because I remember, you know, being in high school around Waukesha County, there was a Bush Cheney sign in every yard in Waukesha County, or at least in Pewaukee where I lived. The neighborhood I grew up in, there was basically a Bush Cheney sign in every last yard. I think there was like one Kerry sign in the neighborhood. Things are obviously changing a little bit. When I went back to that old neighborhood last year, it kind of blew my mind to see some Tony Evers signs and even some Mandela Barnes signs in my old neighborhood. I'm still kind of processing that one. But I think there are a couple things that explain, you know, the polarization and the why it is so deep red, because we've seen, like, you know, this the trend over the past, you know, much of the past decade has seen many suburban communities continue to shift to the left. And that has been kind of like exacerbated and amplified in the Trump era. We're kind of experiencing this point of realignment where you have, you know, some more of the educated suburban voters who are tending to vote Democrat, and you're getting some more rural and working class voters voting more Republican. That varies from election to election here in Wisconsin, where we have a bit real independent streak. But I think in Waukesha County, it primarily comes down to two things. And one is the religious conservatives that I think enjoy a tremendously significant presence in Waukesha County. And I think overall, the regional anti-city polarization that has been fueled in large part by some conservative talk radio shows that have been popular in the region for many of the past, I don't know, 30 years, that have really amplified it and kind of fostered those divisions over the years. And I think, you know, as we're seeing that change, but I think that is part of the reason why that shift that much of the country was seeing before it started happening in the wow counties and in the Milwaukee metro area, I think it just took a little bit longer to shake loose because I think in 2014, there was a big Journal Sentinel feature on how the Milwaukee metro area was the most politically polarized metro area in the country.
Wow.
And I think, it is because of that, because it was so deep, deep red in the suburbs and so deep, deep blue in the city, that it kind of took a little bit longer for that polarization to shake loose and that shift to start to happen. But it is certainly happening in a big way over the last few election cycles in Wisconsin.
I think the other thing too is, like, when you ask people about Waukesha County, if you put Waukesha County in quotes, people are going to say Brookfield, Waukesha, New Berlin, Pewaukee. Waukesha is a huge county.
It is a big county.
So, like, it's just made up of all different kinds of parts, all different kinds of people. So, and that's really with any county too. Like, that's when I worked in Racine in the mayor's office, you know, yeah, Racine is real blue collar union blue, but you drive past the eye.
Yeah.
Robin Voss signs for days.
Well, and you talk about the same thing can be true of cities too. Mm-hmm. You know, the city of Milwaukee, there are more votes for Donald Trump from the city of Milwaukee than any other city. If you think about it, because 25% of the city is voting for Donald Trump, that's like a couple hundred thousand people, mm-hmm. you know, in Milwaukee County who are going to be voting for Trump. So I think that, you know, you got it. Everything contains multitudes, right? Yeah. And Waukesha County is the third most populous county in the state. So it's going to have a lot of votes from all across the political spectrum.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. Dan Schaefer is our guest from the recombobulation area. And we're talking about several letters that were in the recent mailbag over at the recombob area. Here's one. new nickname. I think this is a really great question, Dan. As a former Milwaukeean who watches with interest from a distance, I have to ask you, what is there to be optimistic about right now in Wisconsin at large and also in Milwaukee?
Yeah, I think this is actually a really interesting time for Milwaukee and Wisconsin, and an interesting time to be optimistic about what's going on here. I think the headlines that we so often see coming out of Wisconsin are so negative and are so, you know, fraught with polarization and fraught with, you know, the Republicans running the Wisconsin state legislature so often dictate the news cycle, Robin Voss dictating the news cycle in so many ways. But I think there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. You know, in Milwaukee, you know, we just had this really big deal to put the city and county's finances on more firm footing looking forward. And I think you're going to start to see, instead of constantly looking for ways to avoid the cliff or avert a worst case scenario, I think you're going to start seeing the city and county turn the dial in the other direction a little bit way, start to make some investments. And I think, you know, recent example of this that I highlighted in my response there was the growing MKE proposal from the Milwaukee Department of City Development, a fascinating plan that could transform the way housing is built in Milwaukee, reform the zoning code. I saw some people, you know, comment on it this week from across the country saying it is one of the most ambitious zoning codes being introduced anywhere in the country. So I think, you know, there's going to be stuff that's just one example, but I think you're going to start to see more of it. And, you know, we just had budgets passed in the city and county in Milwaukee that didn't have a whole lot of opposition. Everybody was kind of pulling the same direction. And instead of, you know, figuring out what's going to be cut this time, they're actually starting to invest in some things. So I think that is making me optimistic about Milwaukee. I think some credit is due to Mayor Cavalier Johnson, County Executive David Crowley, for helping get some of those things done. But I think in Wisconsin too, you know, the death grip of gerrymandering is starting to loosen, whether it's through the court cases that are moving forward or whether it's Republicans acknowledging that their approach to making this the most gerrymandered maps in the country isn't really working for people. And so I think that is another sign that we are going to be able to make some meaningful changes in this state and city in the future.
Do you really think, Dan, though, that some Republican lawmakers think that gerrymandering is bad because they're not responding to their constituents? Because to me, that sounds like the perfect job. It's like I can do whatever I want and I can ignore everything that my constituents want. And there's absolutely nothing they can do about it if they can vote me out, maybe.
it's going to be a, it's always a little bit different when these legislators have to operate with a little bit different of a sense of accountability. And I think if we can bring a little bit more accountability to the Wisconsin State Legislature, we're going to see more meaningful change. And I think to a certain extent, you saw it this year in some instances in the legislature, like that shared revenue deal, where it was clear that something had to get done. You know, there were obviously things that folks like me in Milwaukee who lean to the left are not thrilled about with that deal, but I think it was really important to get done. And so, and this was the first year, and that happened after, you know, Tony Evers was reelected, happened after the Janet Protasiewicz landslide victory in April. You know, we're seeing a little bit more bipartisanship happening in Madison, just a little bit.
Slightly, a scooch more.
Very, very slightly. It's kind of one step forward, two steps back. But there are some steps being taken in the right direction.
I was going to say, a scooch is great. I'll take a scooch.
We'll take a scooch, right?
I will say this too, in response to the question about Milwaukee and its improvements, and this is not like, I would actually, Dan, if you know deeply about this or get someone on to talk about those rezoning ideas, that sounds exciting. But also, last night I was in Milwaukee not working for a moment, and I was walking down Valar Phillips, and I felt like I was in a different city. It didn't feel, and in a good way too. It's like, oh my gosh, this, you know, this is beautiful. Like the improvements, even to the sidewalks and the look of the buildings. I'm like, this feels like a fancy city I'm in, and it felt good.
I think there's so many reasons to be excited about Milwaukee right now. Yeah. You know, I think we're, yeah, I've been, you know, obviously from the region, like I was saying, grew up in Waukesha County. I've been in the city of Milwaukee basically since 2009, save one year. I'm as optimistic or more optimistic now in 2023 than at any time since I've lived in the city.
Well, that makes me feel good because I am not an optimist. So it's always nice to be able to pull optimism from others. I really appreciate that, Dan.
We'll get you to be an optimist by a scooch.
I'm an optimist, but I'm also a realist.
You are the glass a realist.
Yes.
The glass is half full, but sometimes that glass is half full of poison.
I want that on a t-shirt. That sums up my, oh God, that was perfect, Dan Shaver.
Oh man, that was funny.
That was just perfect. All right. When we come back, the Brewers deal, the Brewers stadium deal explained for a five-year-old, Dan's going to break it down for us as he did for his reader of the recombobulation area and see where we stand on the latest with this. There have been some little tweaks, haven't there, Dan?
There's some amendments. There's some debates. There's a whole lot going on. Big vote tomorrow, though.
All right. Big vote tomorrow. Stay with us. We will be right back. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change.
Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Ask Goes Wisconsin. 10 minutes before 11 o'clock. Jane Mettner in for Kristen Bry, Calvin on the board. Greg Buck with me in studio. Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area is here with us as well. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. If you ever want to call and or text, a couple texts I wanted to get to. Good morning, everybody. This is from Marty. Do you know that the stadium is not in the city of Milwaukee? Why are we being taxed separately for triple taxation? Do we know about the deed restrictions that came with the deal with the VA in 1949? It calls for tickets for veterans at every event, 250 per game. I was not familiar with that.
I feel like we brought this up, the veterans thing,
a while ago,
and it just was sort of like a thing of, it was back then, and then we stopped. Because, I mean, I bet you people stopped asking, and I'm sure if veterans want tickets, they
can get them. I would hope so.
But, yeah, I just, you know, it was also, I mean, okay, what I'm about to say is not going to sound like I support the vets. I support the vets. I'm the son of a vet. But that was a long time ago. And if they were going to like re-up it, then it would be in there. But my guess is someone just probably forgot to put it in the new handbook.
I don't know if that type of thing made the new deal when it became the stadium district.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the '90s. Yeah. Well, and it, to my knowledge, it's right on the border, but the stadium is within the borders of the city of Milwaukee.
I thought it was in West Milwaukee.
It's a weird border right over there, mm-hmm. but if you go if you go south of National Avenue, mm-hmm. you're in West Milwaukee.
Yeah.
But I think if you go north of National Avenue there, you're still in the city of Milwaukee until you get to the highway. And then it's there's a very weird borders in that part.
You heard it here first, folks. Dan Schaefer said we have to secure our borders.
We are grabbing some questions from the recombobulation area's reader mailbag. The last one we're going to cover. Dan, I've read as much as I can about the Brewers stadium deal, and I am still lost. I hate the phrase, explain it to me like I'm five, but well, please explain it to me like I'm five and what this might or might not mean to me as a Wisconsin taxpayer, a Dane County resident, and a fan of the Brewers.
All right. So do you want me to just read my convoluted Lego analogy?
Yes.
Right from the page here?
Sure.
Okay. So let's say I bought you a Lego set.
Okay.
Yes.
He's very
to someone who's five.
Oh.
And you use that Lego set to build something great, and a lot of people loved it. But after a while, some of the Legos inevitably got lost or broken. So you came back to ask me for more Legos. So you keep putting something together that people would love. But over time, things changed. Lego sets weren't built the same way. Everything costs more. And not everyone was sure that buying more Legos to build the same set the same way was the best idea. And maybe your sister needs a new backpack or some cold medicine, and we're not sure if buying new Legos is the right decision right now. Maybe you can use some of the extra pieces for a little while until we find a better way to buy new Legos. Or maybe we should just use some extra money from savings to get the Legos now so nobody freaks out about the possibility of the Legos going away forever. How's that work?
You lost me when you started using Lego in the plural incorrectly.
Oh, God.
Oh.
He is so obsessed about that, honestly.
No, that was actually a wonderful... No, that's a wonderful... I love that. I love that.
So where are we now? Where is the deal now? Because there have been some amendments you mentioned. Some things have changed.
Yeah. So it's the vote tomorrow is the big vote. It's the final hurdle. It's the most contentious piece of the vote. So I think there have been some amendments to kind of win over some of the last few holdouts. You know, this is a deal that's supported by Tony Evers, by Robin Voss, by Cavalier Johnson, by David Crowley. So lots of the main principals who are involved with this are on board. Interestingly, it's the type of deal that doesn't cut across traditional political lines. You don't have all Republicans in favor or all Democrats opposed. You have some kind of in between there, which I think it makes it a really fascinating deal. But I think I do expect it to pass tomorrow. You know, I think there's a lot of people who are even opposed to it who want to get to yes. And so maybe there are some final concessions to be made. You know, one of those, I think, is having some representation for the local governments who are paying into this deal.
Absolutely.
On the stadium district board.
Yes.
It seems like a no-brainer. You know, I know the overall size of the deal could have been reduced if they instituted a ticket tax for all events. They're only doing it for non-Brewers games events, but that's going to reduce the state's contribution to the deal by about $30 million. Doesn't offset the local contribution, of course, which, of course, they're going to kick Milwaukee to try and win over those last few votes. But yeah, I think, you know, the Republicans have 20 plus votes in the state Senate, so they could pass it just with Republican votes. But I think they're going to need some Democrats to vote in favor of this as well. And I think they'll get a handful of Democrats to vote for this.
Did the Brewers cough up any more money? Because that's always been my gripe. I still don't think they're putting enough into this deal. I don't.
I completely agree with you there. They're putting in something like 20% of the overall price tag of the deal. The Bucks were put in something along the lines of 50% of the price tag of the deal. Much, 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 much different. I don't think the Brewers have totally approached this conversation in the best way. They added more money to the deal, but they added $10 million, which, look, $10 million is a lot of money, of course, but it is like $10 million in a deal that's approaching $700 million. It's not a big percentage increase.
No, it's not.
That barely covers tip.
That's the best that they can do to bring it, you know, to get it over the finish line. I guess that's the money that they have freed up available now that they are not paying Craig Counsell to be the manager.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
Well, then they should have a whole lot more money they should be able to kick in.
Have you met Mark Antanasio?
This will always leave a bad taste in my mouth because I don't think they're picking up their fair share. I really don't.
But I know we have to go soon. But just to be fair, this team doesn't have a history of kicking in its fair share. Like the people have gotten rolled over on many times. Yeah. So it's there's never a stadium where everyone's like, great.
Let's do it.
Maybe except for Cowboy Stadium where Jerry Jones was like, I'll pay for it. It's fine.
Oh, by the way, Dan, your T-shirt suggestion. What is the phrase now? You're an optimist.
The glass half full, but sometimes it's half full of poison.
Texter from the 541 wants to know what size T-shirts we want and what colors, because we're going to get those shirts made up. I think that's absolutely hilarious.
Wow, okay, there we go.
We will see you next week on Tuesday. Dan Schaefer, thank you so very much. Have a wonderful day. Stay with us. When we come back, Mark Sommerhauser from the Wisconsin Policy Forum is going to join us. We're going to talk housing. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Today, look at me. Gotta be Santa Theo. Yeah.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Peter King. A third group of Hamas hostages is now free, among them a 4-year-old girl who was